we got here is a failure to communicate.
That ghostly shading on the bridge walk is the only remaining evidence of what was once a man. The bomb blast consumed his body entirely, but cast his imprint on the stones where he stood to meet his fate.
They took him right down that road.
What'd he look like, Greg?
Yeah, Greg, what'd he look like?
He had his eyes open closed, Greg.
He was smiling. That's right. You know, that Luke smile of his, he had it on his face right to the very end. Hell, if they didn't know it for, they could tell right then that they weren't ever going to beat him. That old Luke smile. Oh, he was some boy. Cool hand Luke L. He's a natural born world shaker.
My judgment is that the closer we come to the deadline, the more likely these people will challenge our will. My judgment is that the closer we come to the deadline, the more likely these people will challenge our will. My judgment is that the closer we come to the deadline, the more likely these people will challenge our will.
In a commercial jet circling above a city. You look down at densely packed skyscrapers, office towers, apartment buildings, hotels, factories, and bridges. From this distance, you can barely make out the traffic. The people below are as small as microorganisms, invisible. But you know they're down there, hurrying along the sidewalks, riding in cars and buses and underground trains, swarming in the buildings, in the minions. And for a moment, you experience a sense of wonder at the absurdity of human vanity. You will no longer take your life so seriously. But then a failure in the plane's electrical system shuts down two engines. Oxygen masks drop from compartments above each passenger, and flight attendants run up and down the aisle directing emergency procedures.
Your attention, please. This is your captain speaking.
The captain announces he may be forced to ditch. Seatbelt tightly fastened, you lean forward, a pillow tucked over your head, and pray for mercy. You've never really lived. You've never really loved. Your life's work remains unfinished. Tears streaming down your cheeks. The ship falling like a stone through space. You scream at the top of your lungs. And when, a few minutes later, power is restored and the plane safely lands, you join the other passengers in a round of applause for the pilot. Then you're in a cab heading for the city. You drive over one of the bridges you saw from the plane. But what appeared earlier as a fragile web of thread stretched over water is now a huge and majestic structure, its cables flowing in sweeping waves from tower to tower. Overcome by sudden depression, you feel drawn to the river.
Each of us, at one time or another, has contemplated suicide. Murder of the self, a death in which we participate as both killer and victim. And there are those who act on this impulse. They hang themselves, shoot themselves, throw themselves from windows and cliffs, take poison, strip down naked and freeze on snowdrifts, explode dynamite in their mouths, hurl themselves on swiftly revolving circular saws, dive into heated ovens, pierce their hearts with corpse screws, bore holes in their heads with power drills, and nail themselves to the doors of their hotel rooms. But there are others, the vast majority, who commit slow suicide, suicide by inches, chronic suicide.
To the city, a giant maze of narrow hallways with towering walls of glass and steel are jammed with traffic and crowds of people. We stroll along Vladeck Avenue in the cool of the evening.
I lost all my money. Guy beat me up took all my money. Could you let me some change? I gotta get home.
What you looking at? I see you looking at something. Oh, now don't lie. I know you're looking at something. You want to see some more? Come on. Come on, let me change.
You know, I'm not going to try to tell you the stories or anything like that, but I need a drink, really. I mean, I need like about 12, 15 cents so me and my buddy could get a drink. And a lot of guys come up to you and just say, well, would you give me the 12 cents and we'll take this away home or anything. I'm not going to tell you stories like that, sir. I'm just going to ask you if you could give me 12, 15 cents, a nickel, and we're going to get drunk. That's what we're going to do. We're going to get drunk. Oh, God love you, sir. God love you. God love you. God bless you. God bless your family. God bless you, sir.
You pass squatters cooking fires in a vacant lot, living in empty refrigerator crates, in wrecked cars, and in sheds of plywood and street signs. Chickens and goats tied to lampposts, and girls walking barefoot in the rubble wearing cast-off party dresses. An old man huddles over a garbage can on the corner, rummaging through cheese rinds, fish scales, eggshells, uneaten spaghetti, withered flowers, blown out light bulbs, calendars of bygone years. Yes, the years have gone by, but where have they gone?
That winter in Erfurt, when we went skiing.
Some wild chicken, Luke. We gonna send you postcard.
You follow me and I'll radio the emergency clinic to open up.
I'm taking him to the prison hospital.
But that's an hour away. He ain't gonna make it.
Get out of the way. He's ours.
Sorry, dude. Just doing your job. You've got to appreciate that.
Yeah. All in good time. We'll make it right, folks.
I hate this, Sam. Can't you see that? Well, beat him.
Money safe. All right. Last bell. Come in. Hey, Carl. What's that noise outside? Man on the bridge, boss!
Great is Jesus in my plea. Daily born close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through the days of toil that's near, if I fall, dear Lord, who cares? Who but thee my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee.
When a man's mother dies and he gets to thinking about her funeral and paying respects, before he knows it, his mind ain't right. He's got rabbit in his blood. Me mind. Will you keep me off the road for a while?
I'm shaking it here, boss. I'm shaking it. That's my baby, Luke. Don't hit me, boss. Don't hit me. I'll do whatever you say, only don't hit me. You're an original. That's what you are. Them mullet heads didn't even know you was fooling.
Fool them, huh? Can't fool them about something like that. They broke me. Didn't get my mind right, and I wouldn't know stick those here.
Oh, all that time you was planning on running again.
I was planning anything in my life.
Wiping it off there, boss. Hanging him off here, boss.
He's blocking the scenery.
Safe to be in holding that thing long. Gold safe to be in the pop. Come on, baby, pop.
Hey, Lord, whatever I done, don't strike me blind for another couple of minutes.
Mind them seeds.
Hey, Lucille, boy, where'd you get that? Is Lucille your mother dead? Anything so innocent and built like that just gotta be named Lucille.
In the car, above.
She knows exactly what she's doing. Driving us crazy and loving every minute of it. Shut your mouth and I'll mind her seeing her.
Come on.
Well, shut up, Papa Luca.
You leave him alone. Ah. He's happy.
He's going to sit there more. Shut your mouth.
Come on, Rick, get away!
I'm shaking it here, boss. I'm shaking it.
That's my baby, Luke. Don't hit me, boss. Don't hit me. I'll do whatever you say. Only don't hit me.
You're an original. That's what you are. Them motherheads didn't even know you was fooling.
Fooling, huh? You can't fool them about something like that. They broke you. My mind right, not with no stickles here.
Oh, that time you planned on running again.
I was planning anything in my life.
What's all this good doing?
When I was a little bitty baby, my mama used to rock me in the great old Indian road.
Come, boss. Good work. Come, boss. Don't hit me anymore. I said, don't hit me anymore.
What was that you said? What was that name you used, Luke?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Sorry, I pray to God you don't hit me anymore. The drink is sick, but I can't take it anymore.
You got your mind right, Luke?
Yeah. Is that right? I got it right, boy.
Well, I ain't used to hard work neither. I always tried to avoid it. Not exactly crazy about it myself.
Well, man, it's gonna be one tough day to learn on.
Coco?
Why don't you give one of these new meat a break and let him use your broom today?
Oh, hell, society, I ain't going down in that ditch.
Well, I sure would appreciate it. I ain't in too good a shape right now.
Hey, Coco, you really gonna sell your job?
Well, you may have to.
Maybe that Lucas war hero will be here.
I'll give you 50 cents.
50 cents for a sweet job like that? That's worth at least a buck.
I'll make it a dollar.
Dollar's a deal.
Where'd you get that about war hero?
Well, little Friday told me. Tearing the heads off of who was gumball machine. What kind of thing is that for a grown man?
Well, you know how it is, small town. Not much to do in the evening. Mostly we just set an old score.
Don't know exactly what life is. We don't know how it starts. We don't know very much about death. We have all kinds of interesting data. Let's leave the question open.
Evolution can explain how the complicated machinery of an eyeball.
That's right.
Came to be.
Right. So, I mean, there is a myriad of questions that cross over into the magical domain. What science traditionally tries to do is close the circle so that all questions will be answered. I don't think that that's necessarily a wise thing. It's okay to have these questions. It's okay to have things that can't be explained totally. What's really interesting, though, is to try to make them work in a useful manner. So that's the next stage of this, and that was part of your question. How do we make magic into something practical and useful and everyday, and make it be an assisting factor in every other goal or intention that we have? See, I think it's very important, especially now. We have a very complicated world, which is beginning to think as an organic unit because the communication network is so well proliferated. Just like, as Peter Russell said in his book of 25 years ago called The Global Brain, it's about 20 years ago, 1983, I think it came out. He said that in 1983, he said, we will soon be at a place where there will be enough communication terminals, telephones, televisions, computers, all kinds of communicating points, so that the density of these points will begin to resemble the number of cells. The density of these points on the planet will begin to equal the number of cells in the human brain. And at that point, if we can make those connections coherent, then the planet will start to be able to behave in a way that looks like it is consciously thinking. That we all, as separate cells in this global brain, will be part of a global thought process. Now, Peter said this in 1980, 81, 82, 83, and we are very close to his target date. He said 2005 would be, by his calculations then, if I'm remembering correctly, that's when we would hit that point. We are very close. So it's as if the internet is part of that process, and it's beginning to wake up as an entity which can't be controlled by any government and begins to think for itself.
This is the whole premise of AI. Create intelligent enough artificial intelligent machines and their consciousness emerges of their own and they're independently intelligent.
Well, yes, except
that... It's a shade of that, isn't it?
It's a shade of that, except that it's much more natural because nobody's figured it out. It's figuring itself out. See, somebody with artificial intelligence at the various laboratories at MIT and here at the University of Washington where they're working on that, that's fascinating stuff. There was a great title to a book that came out, I think maybe 12, 15 years ago, it was called Machines Who Think. Not Machines That Think, but Machines Who Think. And I just thought that was a brilliant title, because if the machine could really think, it would be a who and not an it.
It gets down to the premise also that when you have enough neural activity, it jumps to another dimension. And yet you can't reduce consciousness to a number of neural net activity functions either. There's something else going on there.
It's magic, perhaps. We're talking about this word and this element.
Where do you get from mind to consciousness?
It seems to be something which is operating on a level where no one individual is conscious of the whole, but everyone is tied into it enough to be able to find their channel, shall we say, to hook in to this bigger mind. I don't want to get too far into that because that's going to take us off our main topic, but it's part of it. It's that the global group mind is waking up in a conscious way. Before, group mind has been kind of dull, vague, unclear, except at very intense moments of history for small groups where everybody's sort of come together in this miraculous way. But this is a bigger change.
Take group mind, the whole concept, and invoke the 100th monkey. And so you go, okay, there's quantum physics, there's communication at a distance, non-locality. when the monkey washed its potato in the river and the monkey over in the next colony over who had no direct contact also did it. That's some sort of transmission of communication and information that's happening on a quantum level.
That's right. Now, I always like to say that that 100th monkey story is possibly not exactly true the way it was described, that these monkeys on the islands actually did this. But it doesn't matter, because in one's own life, one can see enough examples of that.
Or they say that they often invoke the 100 or the meter mark. How fast does it take somebody to run a meter? Impossible speeds now are accomplished because people seem to be building on the record of the breaking through the barriers of possibility by increments.
And so the best, most coherent work on this that I know is Rupert Sheldrake's work about what he calls the morphogenetic field, in which he says that nature doesn't have laws, nature has habits. And if something is done once, it's easier for someone else to do it again.
And habits can be changed. And
habits can be evolved. So if you have a strong enough desire to try something and you focus enough on it and you manage eventually to succeed, it makes it easier and easier and easier for other people to do it. Again, that's a whole other discussion. But Rupert Sheldrake's work definitely is some of the most articulate on the borderline between so-called science and so-called magic.
We're talking with Frederick Lehrman, and we're discussing how magical is this universe. We'll be back for more on Morley.
3, Queen Dukes. 7, pair of Savannahs right here. Dukes gets a 4, no help. 3 gets big ace, bet the Savannahs. Oh, I call.
One time.
All right, I'll call. If I catch up on party, I'll call. King 3, you got a 4. Queen Deuce gets a 5 and a pair of 7. John and a big ace gets a slap in the face. Okay, you still do the talking? I call.
Keep it up.
Shot at me.
What you got? I can see that. Show him, raise his head off. All right, then you just call. Call. You gotta see him.
I can't. I'm safe there. King case. I'm home. King 4-3. Got a 9. Nothing visible. There are 7s and a jack hits a 6. Savannahs, you still better, man.
Kick it back a buck.
Kick it back a buck.
Kick it back.
Oh, come on. You gonna do play like a fucking nut? You got enough on it, didn't you?
I know he's got a pair of kings. You don't have to stuff up my nose.
Well, you still gotta call him anyway.
Not a freak.
You gotta look at him.
The man's got kings. Get your tail out. You wanna see him?
Yeah.
Back there. 1, 2, yeah. 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. Lights up, right?
He beat you in nothing. Just like today when he kept coming back at me. With nothing.
Yeah, well, sometimes nothing can be a real cool hand.
Well, you made the week, boy. Now you got a day and a half to rest up old Monday. Go!
You see, what we need to understand is that we have the same spirit of faith that Paul and Jesus did. And he said, we believe, therefore we speak. The word of God said, that whosoever shall say,
See, I think it's very important, especially now. We have a very complicated world, which is beginning to think as an organic unit because the communication network is so well proliferated. Just like, as Peter Russell said in his book 25 years ago called The Global Brain, it's about 20 years ago, 1983, I think it came out. He said that in 1983, he said, we will soon be at a place where there will be enough communication terminals, telephones, televisions, computers, all kinds of communicating points, so that the density of these points will begin to resemble the number of cells. The density of these points on the planet will begin to equal the number of cells in the human brain. And at that point, if we can make those connections coherent, then the planet will start to be able to behave in a way that looks like it is consciously thinking. That we all, as separate cells in this global brain, be part of a global thought process. Now, Peter said this in 1980, 81, 82, 83, and we are very close to his target date. He said 2005 would be, by his calculations then, if I'm remembering correctly, that's when we would hit that point. We are very close. So it's as if the internet is part of that process, and it's beginning to wake up as an entity which can't be controlled by any government and begins to think for itself.
This is the whole premise of AI. Create intelligent enough artificial intelligent machines, and their consciousness emerges of their own, and they're independently intelligent.
Well, yes, except
that... It's a shade of that, isn't it?
It's a shade of that, except that it's much more natural, because nobody's figured it out. It's figuring itself out. See, somebody with artificial intelligence at the various laboratories at MIT and here at the University of Washington, where they're working on that, that's fascinating stuff. There was a great title to a book that came out, I think maybe 12, 15 years ago. It was called Machines Who Think. Not Machines That Think, but Machines Who Think. And I just thought that was a brilliant title, because if the machine could really think, it would be a who and not an it.
A company is strong, and a life is strong, if it is bound together around a central core, an unchanging core of values and beliefs. A central purpose. Because if you have that, nothing can knock you down.
When I started this thing, it wasn't money that motivated me. I got real excited about some computer code that I thought could change the world. Profits can make a company grow, but they only make it work. People make it work. Ideas make it work. A company is not just where you make your money, it's where you make your friends. Company is a purpose beyond just making money.
So Robert tells me you're a smart guy.
Yeah, I try.
That doesn't mean you're going to succeed. Very few of us ever make it. Catch you later, man.
Don't hate the player.
Hate the game.
You working on anything now? Oh, you are? Oh, what? I do it. Talk about the internet, bringing the people of the world together. Total breakthrough. This will really make it happen.
That's great, John. That's inspiring. Do you have the money to do this?
Do you?
No.
But it's out there. I can't even get anyone to return my call.
Encourage personal responsibility so people are accountable for their actions.
The military state poses a greater or more immediate threat to the security of our people and the stability of the world than the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
Why then did they pose an immediate threat to us?
You and a few other critics are the only people I've heard use the phrase immediate threat. I didn't. The president didn't. And it's become kind of folklore.
The military state poses a greater or more immediate threat to the security of our people and the stability of the world than the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
My belief is we will, in fact, be treated as liberators.
Thank you.
This is holy space. This is where we won the 8-hour day, right here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What kind of power?
Union power.
What kind of power?
Union power.
Things haven't been very well.
That's fine.
How could I be so wrong?
Thank you.
strange. I can't explain it.
Yes.
I haven't been feeling very well myself.
Yes, I understand.
No, no, maybe it's me.
In the closet.
The prayer closet.
In the prayer closet.
You keep
that baby alive, you keep your family alive, you keep the spiritual baby alive in the prayer closet.
So when we talk about, passion, it's almost like a rat race, and sometimes I feel it, and I just spin back, and I just look, because it's almost like, you know, people just get thirsty to become something.
Mm-hmm.
Get thirsty to be famous, and get thirsty to be
strong.
This ain't no picnic.
No. No.
This, what we do ain't no joke.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't nothing that you play with.
No, that's right.
Do you not know that every person that has ever sat in the midst and heard your voice, you become responsible for the impartation that you put in there? I'm responsible. Every time you sit on this television, we become responsible to every person that's listening. Did I impart the right thing? Did I impart the Spirit of God, or did I impart flesh? When that person gets you listening, did I cause them to grow? Have I caused their spirit to be broken before God? Or have I ignited another monster in the kingdom? Your brother said revival was coming, and your brother said it's time for us to have revival, and that's what this tour is all about. I told the Lord, I said, God, my answer is yes. He said, because you've got to make the body of Christ know that everybody has got to get in their places. You can't have the whole body of Christ out of order, and this one doing that, and this one doing that, and this one doing that, because what's happening now is the congregation is leaving.
Yeah.
And the shepherds are following.
Yeah.
And God has said it's time for the shepherds to lead their children into the knowledge of truth.
Yeah.
It's time for every man of God, every woman of God, to challenge your children, to rebuke your children, to chastise your spiritual children, and let them know, I have to leave you a legacy. You may not like me, you may not like me, you may hate me, you may think I'm the meanest person in the world. I got a responsibility to your soul. And when I see something that is incorrect, I have to call that sin out. I have to call it on the carpet. The Bible said we must be rebuked and chastised, that we may be snatched from the fire. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret watch. We're too busy trying to keep a people instead of purge a people. God is interested in the leadership purging your people out. That's what the powers know. That's why it takes the praise and worship team hours to get a breakthrough. That's why we don't get breakthroughs in the house of God. Because we're not purging them out. It's time to go back to preaching that hot gospel. It's time to go back to basics. Okay, so we know revelation. Okay, so we know all of the theology. But what about sin? What about what? What about getting rid of What about consecration?
Yeah.
What about time with God?
Yeah.
What about when was the last time I called you in my office and looked in your spirit and said, God showed me you got to clean that up. God showed me you got to get that right. We can no longer be afraid of our sons and daughters because we're picking up the spirit of the world.
Yeah.
The world is afraid of their children.
Yeah.
You don't hear what I'm saying tonight.
Yeah.
The world is afraid of their children. The world is afraid to confront their children. You know why? Because their children now are making more money, and they're rock stars, and they're wiser, and they're doing a whole lot more. And so the parents have become intimidated, not understanding that you have the richest part of their life. They can make all the money in the world. You may have people in your church that is so talented they can sing the house down. But you're not interested in their talent. You gotta get them before God. You got to be responsible. But when they stand before God in judgment, that they're able to stand before God in righteousness with a pure life. So we gotta forget about talent. We gotta forget about gift. Put your gift on the altar. Put your talent on the altar. It's time for the leadership to call a real revival of the house.
Yes.
And a real revival of the house is people of God. It's time to get your inheritance.
Yes.
We've been singing in the choir long enough. We've been having programs. We've been having banquets. We've been having friends. We've been having get-togethers. We've been having concerts. But we have been low in prayer, consecration, meditation of the word. It's time for a revival. It's time for us to get our spiritual endeavor. You have to get it.
My God.
You have nothing.
You know, the Bible said God took of Moses' spirit.
and put it on the 70 elders. One time the Lord said, because I was mad at people, they were doing me wrong, and I thought I had a right. And the Lord said, could I take your spirit and put it on your people? Because that's what I do. If you're the leader of a church, God takes your spirit. If I'm not a praiser, my people are not going to praise. If I don't have a prayer life, my people are not going
to
praise.
You got to give them that. They don't get that. Children are not born with a language. We give them a language. When your babies come into the world, they don't come in here talking English. They hear English, so they duplicate English. They hear Spanish, and they duplicate Spanish.
Yes.
When they hear righteousness, they duplicate.
Hallelujah. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. That's so powerful.
I tell you,
it's true.
And you don't have to fight leadership. Because I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. This is so powerful. I'm going to leave this with you. When David was running from Saul, David, listen, he got his anointing was laid upon him by Samuel. He went into the presence of Saul to learn king principles. And you got to know the difference in the body.
Wow.
You can't call anybody their spiritual mother and their spiritual father. Because some people, you just got to get information from.
Wow.
Not an impartation. You can't be in the church because your grandmama was in the church and because your auntie is there. You got to ask God, give me my spiritual impartation. I need to give an impartation for my
spirit.
Jesus. I don't mean to go there. When Samuel anointed David to be king, and he poured all of the anointing down on him, and Saul was in high pursuit of him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, this is when you know that you're a spiritual father. God, have mercy, Jesus. I want to say to one of my spiritual fathers that's watching right now, and Pastor Jackson, that's in Columbus, Georgia. This is how you know that you're a spiritual father. And that's not measured by numbers. Everybody got up the numbers. Everybody got up the quantity of nationality.
That's right. That's it.
When Saul was after David, In this last 60 seconds, and God gave me to really deal with this in this book. When Saul was after David, David ran back to Samuel. He ran back to where he got his anointing from. And he got behind him. And Samuel told him, come and stand behind me. The Bible said that Saul sent three sets of men out and said, kill David. The Bible said when they got on David, the anointing that was on Samuel dropped on them, and instead of killing him, they stopped prophesying to him.
Wow.
Some people don't know the power of leadership. Some people don't know the power of a real anointing, and that's why us as leaders, we got to wear a real anointing, because our spiritual children are in trouble, and when they run to the house of God for our spiritual covering, what's on our lives, all of them are jump in and do what they
Jesus, yes.
You are the man with a devil. You better not put your hands on my one of mine. You better not touch my son. You better not touch my daughter. Stay in my booty. They don't have to get in the battle by themselves, because there ought to be enough weight on you and I to ward off any spirit that's trying to take them out of their destiny. And that's why we got to go up in prayer. That's why we got to get around it, because we cannot buff out a nation if we don't have the power to protect it. I close with this. When three sets of men came, they kept falling out. They went back to Saul and said, something has happened. And they said, where's David? We can't get at him. So why can't you get at him? Because that old man that's with him, his spirit keeps jumping up. The anointing that's on my pastor, oh, David's pastor, kept jumping. And so what he said was this. And you just have to get the book, because I can't finish it. What he said was this. He said, then Saul got mad and said, I'm going myself. And what happened was, now when Saul began to come, then the anointing on Samuel increased speech from the level of demonic warfare that is coming. How do I know that? Because the Bible said when Saul was miles away, Samuel's anointing jumped him miles away. And then he was ready to get open. By the time Saul got in the presence of Samuel and David, the Bible said he stripped his clothes off and lay naked and began to prophesy to them. That's the power I hear over my life. I'm a man and woman of God, and God is calling in this hour. And when we get rid of sin like that, then we'll get a revival. When we get children that are sin like that, then we'll get revival. When we get purification, we'll get revival. When we get our spiritual inheritance, then the kingdom of God will be glorified.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't minister it over. It ain't going down. It ain't going under. God had to get rid of every false child that came and attached itself to you and drained you of your anointing and drained you of your power. God said tonight, He restores you. He re-fortifies you because your real children is on the way. And you have given birth. And I'm not going to love you, so rest upon you from this night forward. Set the spirit of the living God.
And while I'm sitting here live in the studio, the anointing, I'm in a battle, you're in a battle, everybody's in a battle, but the anointing on that anointed person can turn your enemies around. That's happening. That's happening right now.
It's happening. When Jehu went after Jezebel, what made those eunuchs throw her out of the window, and they had no passion to her, because the Bible said, when they heard the voice and the crying call of a prophet, that said, you're free, they threw her down. And that's when God is crying out to the nation tonight, to every leader tonight, you're free. You can go free. You can take your children to another level. You can take your church to another level. I want somebody in here to shout all over this place.
Take it, take it, take it, take it. You take it, 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 you take
Jesus, mighty name. I tell you what, everybody watching this program, they say, is this everywhere, every bookstore?
Everywhere, Barnes and Noble.
You need to go get this book. This is a word in faith. How many of you just sense it's time for me to get my spiritual inheritance? This book will tell you how to do it. I want you to go out and get it. And if you can be with us at Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia, this coming Thursday and Friday night, you're in for a life altering experience. Juanita Bynum's going to be there. We'll begin at 7 p.m., 17th and 18th, this Thursday and Friday night. Don't miss it for anything.
The Lord told me, he said, you're on a prophetic assignment for the next 3 months. So you're watching and doing ministry, and you want the spiritual inheritance tour to come to your church. Every Thursday and Friday, I will be in a new ministry, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, don't book it months and months in advance, because I want you to leave your spirit open, because there are some churches that you're going to go to that you've never known before. You don't know them, they don't know you, but it's going to be a prophetic call. It's going to be a prophetic assignment, and this is my spiritual inheritance tour, because I have to, as a prophet of God, I have to preach this unto the sons and the daughters. I return to their parents. I have to restore the body of Christ with this message right here.
And the Bible said, if we receive her, if we receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, and you get the reward. So it's going to happen. And thank you so much for this powerful, powerful word. Let's show what you're finding. What a precious gift for you.
Johnny Lord is going to sing. If there's a need in your life, go to the phone. He's singing. He's been faithful.
Let us be thankful we have an occupation to fill. Work hard. Increase production. Prevent accidents. And be happy. My time.
Thank you.
copy of this Wednesday's Arizona Daily Wildcat. Look for the page with Police Beat. This concludes the authorized message.
But also, I don't think you really were ready to hear anything I had to say. You were too proud. You got intellect to burn, but it's a handicap for you. So I thought I would just stay out of the way and let you learn a thing or two by yourself. Yeah, I've learned that entrepreneurs would rather ask for forgiveness than permission. And also, worst case scenario, even if you had fucked up everything and you lost all my money, I would have lived. See, I've been rich a long time, so I tend not to worry so much.
So I was an experiment to you.
If you choose to see it that way, sure. And don't get me wrong, I think you've got a great idea. But I didn't invest in just the idea. I invested in you. So, here's to ya.
Sounds like a personal problem. I might go to Professor Fisher next. No. Maybe we should talk about going into business together. You have the engineering skills, but I got the juice. I can get calls returned. I have connections. My dad is CEO of First Ally Trust. I mean, you're smart, John. Man, you've always been smart. But I'm a closer. You know, this fraternity thing, it's getting old for me, too.
What you do all day long?
Not every day, no. But most days. I have a wife in the city. When I go there, I work.
She got some nets.
Why?
You could catch more fish.
I don't need more fish.
No, but you could sell the extra ones and buy a boat.
And then what? Catch even more fish?
Sure.
Maybe I could buy a whole fleet of fishing boats, eh? And have them sailing all over the world and have employees catch fish for me, eh?
Sure, I guess you could.
Then what I do?
You could stay on the beach all day catching fish, huh?
God, this one's for you. Come on.
No.
Come back. Come on. Get it. Pull it nice. Nice and easy. Okay. Nice and easy. Pull it here. Put it here.
Right.
Yeah, bring it up. Bring it up. Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Yo.
College punks. Boy, your generation, you have an inability to listen. There's too much. There's too much going on around you guys. It's too much TV, too much technology. Too much sodium. It's the progress paradox, my friends. The more technology we use, the less time we have. How is Mr. Elias going to run a whole company when he can't even listen to his sweet middle-aged college professor?
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, it's me.
Oh, hey.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I just haven't heard from you in 4 days, that's all.
Look, it really has been a big 4 days.
Fair enough. I forgive you. But here's the rule. When you're in a relationship, especially if it involves sex, you must call at least every 24 hours. That's how it works. Ask any girl.
I'm very sorry. I really am. In future, I'll have sex, then call within 24 hours.
Okay. And tell me everything.
Right. Well, I hired Robert as my first F guy.
Really? Interesting choice.
Well, don't worry. I'm just hiring as Rolodex, basically.
Two things have to happen next. One, John and I have to go and assemble a board of directors that can guide us through the rapids of taking a product to market and connect us on all the right levels. We're going to put quality over quantity. We're going to make work fun and exciting for ourselves and our customers. All of you have 3 months to create a kick-ass beta version of our software that we can take to the internet press vultures and blow their fucking minds.
Yeah, we're making a product, but this is a product that's going to bring everybody on this planet a little closer together.
3 months, people, is all we have at our present burn rate. It will go by quickly, rest assured, but hey, no one said getting rich would be easy. This business, isn't up at dawn, round the clock, balls to the wall, all out siege that doesn't stop until we lift this puppy, cash in our chips, and go home millionaires. Who wants to be a millionaire? I know I do.
Ben, good to see you.
Likewise.
Ben Fisher and I go way back. Many companies, many board meetings. So he knows I don't mind being the bad guy. Hey, it's fun to get one's righteous anger all stirred up. But the truth is, at the end of the day, companies exist solely to maximize shareholder value. And that's not as much fun to say. Now, you talk about quality. Quality is what we're about here. The quality of our earnings. You spoke of purpose. Making money is our purpose here. And if we have a way to make more money, such as by listing this company, then we not only have the right, we have the responsibility to do so. Now, if you wanted to run this company as a charity, then you shouldn't have accepted any outside investments, but you did. So now, it's showtime.
So Robert tells me you're a smart guy. Yeah, I try. That's mean you're going to succeed. Very few of us ever make it. Catch you later, man.
Don't hate the player.
Hate the game.
You working on anything now? Oh, you are? Oh, what? I knew it. People talk about the internet, bringing the people of the world together. Total breakthrough. This will really make it happen.
That's great, John. That's inspiring.
You have the money to do this?
You?
No.
But it's out there. I can't even get anyone to return my calls.